Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah.
Going through where we at, what our circumstances look like around us. It's important that we just start to remind ourselves that we're loved, we're loved. When it feels like no one is loving on us, that we don't have anyone in our corner, we have to speak to ourselves. David said you have to stop and encourage yourself. Hallelujah.
Yes. And
we are.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That feels good. And I know as we come together and we talk about different things that are going on, and we're just doing open mic tonight, and we're taking prayer requests, and I've already had some come through today that was just people just needing. They need someone to know that they're hurting. They need the world to know that they're hurting. And if you don't recognize, if everyone continues to not listen and to turn the other way and say, oh, that's just Billy talking again, or oh, that's just Kay over here complaining again, it doesn't stop because they don't get someone to listen or to comfort them or just encourage them. It just goes to another level. It just goes to another level. And we're just wanting to come tonight. We welcome all of you as you come and jump in the chat room. Hello, hello, hello. I see you in the chat room. God bless you. God bless you. We remind you that you are free to stay in the chat rooms. But if you would like to call in, you can also call in. That number is 516-666-8431. Again, it is 516-666-8431. God bless each and every one of you. Whatever is on your mind, you are free to cover it with Christ. And we know that even though you can be frustrated sometimes, we are a Christian broadcast. In this podcast, we try to express, but we also want to make sure that we are expressing it with love. We have enough hatred going on out in the world, as we can see. So even as we get disappointed by some of the tragedies that are going on, we still are representing love. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
How you doing, my sister? Sister Sharonda?
All fine. How you doing, Vaughn?
You sound like you're well rested, are you?
As well as I can be for now, but I got another day, so praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Another day to chill and do something before you hit back to those 4 days?
Three. Three 12-hour days in a row. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then when I come in on Monday, I was like, oh, I can do what I want and go to sleep when I want and wake up when I want.
I hear you. Yes. I do understand. Do it while it can be done, while you can still do it. That's what
Amen.
I say most definitely. I do those 12, too. I hit the 6:30. I get there, and I usually stay until 6:30. Except on Tuesdays when we have to do this, and then I also have hair appointments on the opposite Tuesdays. But other than that, I go in there 5 days a week, 12 hours a day. But I say do it while we can do it. So,
Lord,
amen.
That's true. God's grace has to do it. Whew. That's one thing I can save money on. I don't have to go get my hair done. That cosmetology I took for 3 years in high school still pays off because I still do everything to my own head.
Amen. And it always has looked darling. You think you just stepped about some shop, too. That is awesome. That is awesome. Because, you know, some of the people now are, the prices are just like, whoo, really? That's what you want?
Right.
You want just to do a shampoo and a style? Really? Oh. But God is still good. He's still awesome, mm-hmm. and he still makes a way. So, nope, the person I've been going to, she's a Christian, too. And so, nope, she is very, very, very reasonable. So I get that opportunity to do that and bless her a little bit on the side, too. So,
mm-hmm.
yes,
mm-hmm.
for you. Wow. Well, we have just been, and it's been a busy, a long week for everybody. But, you know, I thank God that we're never too busy to give him praise and to look at some things. And tonight I just wanted to just jump on, and even though I see we're going to have to postpone our previous topic that was going to be for tonight because I'm not for sure where everybody was at, but it was just, I guess everybody is going to Washington. They're in the capitals or their state and they're protesting. No, she's not. Mm-mm.
No.
Okay. Were you able to get in touch with anybody?
No.
Yeah. I don't know. And I know that you both have spoken thoughts that maybe even abortion clinics in Tennessee were not even open anymore. But I don't know. I know that a lot of the people here have gone to, they're in Austin protesting at the Capitol, and they're doing different things like that. So we're definitely going to touch on that. That'll be something in the future for us. But in the meantime, I just wanted to just come and open up the airways, open up the chat rooms, because there's so much that is going on. It's just once we think about one thing and we can't get over the shock of that when something else has happened. And, I've listened to a lot of different opinions about different things that are happening. And we can just jump in and start with the incident that was in Buffalo, New York. Excuse me. And, of course, so the story has been told. I think this is an 18 or 19-year-old young man. And he had apparently driven almost 200 miles to come and take care of this, to do this.
Wow.
And I heard today that it was all because of, it's a group that he is affiliated with, and it was it was just a lot of things on, like, on Fox News. I think they said Tucker Carlson was a member of the group. And basically, it's just saving the white race. It's saving the white race. It's just afraid that the populations are being completed and that there is, it's overriding the white race, and they're just trying to protect the white race. And so that's what this young man had come together to say, that he just felt like he was doing his part by taking out a group of people that was non-white, and that was going to be his contribution to the white race. And then we kind of look back at some situations on one of the Carolinas, you know, the they had the march there, and this was back when our ex-president was in office, and they was just marching, and lives was taken there. And he said, well, there's good people on both sides, and they were part of the same malicious group who were actually just saying, as they was chanting, you know, you can't, you know, you're not going to stop us, you're not going to move us out of the way. And then they would have some more racial slurs in there for each group that they felt like was overtaking them, the white race, and, you know, President, ex-President Trump. You know, he said and that, you know, it was good people on both sides of that. Unfortunately, people got hurt. But I think that until we take a stand, because everybody is looking for to hold on to something, they and until we stand and say this is wrong, not to say a person does everything in their life wrong, but the behavior that they're exhibiting right now to go out and deliberately hurt somebody else because they look different, because they speak different, those things is wrong. And until we can get to that point that we're pointing the finger and we're doing something about it, I don't see a big change. I don't see that change. I think about it back when we was in school, and corporal punishment was the thing that was real. And so in order for me not to get a paddling, if I saw somebody else got in trouble and got paddled, I made sure that I calmed my little self down because I didn't want to be in that predicament. And I think it's the same thing in these situations. Until we start to, as a whole, do something to let them know, set an example, we're, this is not going to be tolerated. You know, right now, it's just like, what, Joe and, you know, he still has his life. I'm not saying that he shouldn't. I'm just saying that, you know, he still has his life. We have heard and we can believe that if it had been someone of a different race, then maybe it would have been a different situation. They may not have been able to take to a jail or taken before a judge for judgment or before his peers. His life may have been taken right there at the place. But, you know, this young fella has, you know, everything. He's getting ready to. And he has a lot of people that is behind him that is, I guess, from this group, who are already saying, we got your lawyer. We're sending money to support you. What do you need? And those things is just getting, taking us further and further away from the word of God. And so I just thank Father for already opening our eyes to let us know it's going to get worse, you know. But we are safe. We are safe. Safe in the arms of the Lord, whether we're on this side or that side. I've heard the controversy say that some of the people were Christians, and why wasn't their life spared? But I don't give life, and I didn't take a life, so I don't know the purpose that God has for us and when. But he did tell us that no man knows the day, the time, or the hour, that we all has to come home. We're just visiting here. So I don't know how
Amen.
We're going to go and when we're going to go.
None of us do.
But he said, be ye also ready. And so
Amen.
One of the things been on my heart for the last week or two has just been to tell people to don't let him catch you with your work undone. It's just that simple. Don't let him catch you with
Amen.
Your work undone. Don't let him catch you with your work undone. And so whatever we're doing, don't let him catch you with the work undone. Trying to speak
Amen.
On those things that and what are you seeing that's going on in our times right now?
Well, because, and here's the thing, Vaughn, you know, we know the word of God says that in the last days there will be a great falling away. Well, we know that's from the word. We know that's from Christ and Christian things and Christian values. But we have to know that we can't just get on board with every insidious and everything that's dark and, you know, because people want to be a part of something. They join anything. And this white nationalist and all these supremacists, you know, it's just a movement because they, like you said, they do feel like they're being ostracized and not as many of them. And so they have to keep things going because due to slavery and all of that, you know, when they brought us over to this country from Africa, you know, I heard a guy on Roland Martin's show, and Roland, you know, he was pretty much getting with the guy, and he said, well, what about slavery? He said, the guy said, yeah, we kind of messed up with that. Yeah, you really did mess up because no man is supposed to own another man. And so, you know, and until the biggest thing with people today, Vaughn, is their hearts. It's the heart that has to be changed. And until we come together and, you know, when they were doing all the marching for George Floyd and different ones, you know, marching is okay for a minute. But if all these people had come together to pray, how powerful that would have been. God says, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then he would hear from heaven. Then he would forgive our sins. Then he would heal our land. That's where we're missing the mark. Instead of all of this marching, if we come together in unity and love, doesn't matter what your denomination is, it doesn't matter what any of that is. If we come together in unity to pray, that's where the power of God and the hand of God would move. The hand of God is sort of stuck in places at times, not because he's not sovereign God, but because people aren't doing the right things. But it's a heart change that has to take place, and that's where we have to minister to people. The word of God said, Paul said, tell them when they want to hear it and even when they don't. So we have to be a people.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yes.
We have to be a people not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power unto God, first unto the Jew and unto the Greek, he said, and to all who believe. So that's where we need to get back to as a nation of people, back to our first love, where we first fell in love with Jesus, and we would minister to a rock if that rock would listen. We would minister to anything, and we can't compromise and just say, oh, you got to love people. That got out of balance too. So it's been out of balance for a long time, the church and everything else. It's out of balance. There has to be a balance in everything, but we need to point people to Jesus, because until that heart is changed, you're going to have more and more hatred and we're in the last days, the very, very last days. But I want to be like one of the five virgins who was wise. He said there were 10 virgins in the Bible.
That's
he
right.
said 10, five were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones,
that's
they were
right.
out partying. They were out having a good time. They were eating and
yeah.
drinking and merriment,
yeah.
you know, sleeping around and doing everything. But the old five wise virgins, honey, they were putting oil in their lamp. Oil
that's
means
right.
you're spending time in prayer. You're spending time
yeah,
in the
yeah.
Word of God. You're spending time in the presence of God. And that's what we need. And I'm going to be one of the five wise virgins. And don't come knocking on my door asking for some oil because you might
that's
not
right.
get it.
That's right. That's get
right. your own oil.
Wow, wow.
And that's when people's
wow.
hearts will change when they see mm. us in power. He said that the whole earth is groaning, moaning for the manifestations
mm.
of the sons of God. We are the sons of God. And he says if the judgment of God first begins at the house of God and whose house we are. So if we can't get it right, then we can't expect everybody else to get it right. But that's where it's got to come. It's got to come from love and unity and prayer.
Hallelujah. Wow, wow, wow. So much right there. Now, that's the meat off in there. And, you know, let's start back here. So we're talking about the marching and, you know, anything that our Heavenly Father, anything that God sets before us, the enemy has a counterfeit that he
yep.
wants to try to do. Because you look back and not that anyone has ever had it all right. But we look back
right.
in the 60s and when Martin Luther King and when they was marching, they weren't just marching just then. They was marching and singing. They was marching and just saying,
praying.
Giving God praise that they know that they
mm-hmm.
was going to make it. We know he has
mm-hmm.
the power of change. We know it's going to be okay. Well, we have substituted that now. For now, we're just out there just to be seen. Now we're out there. We're getting turned up as we're in our marches, you know. We're doing anything. But like you said, if we take everyone in every city, every state, people paid money to fly into places to go to these marches, speaking about with Floyd right now. So if we just take them, not even counting the ones that stayed in their own city but did a march and gathered together, and everyone got together and prayed and prayed
Amen.
And prayed. We would have saw some walls fall down because
Amen.
It wasn't just the believers that was marching. It was non-believers. It was non-blacks. It was a lot of different people that had come together together. If
mm-hmm.
we could just start off, now where are the Christians at in there? Were we to wait on the non-saints to let's say this is our stopping point for now? Let's start. Let me lead us into prayer. Let's get the we got the churches are full with praise worshipers and where were we at to start a praise worship to get everybody, get the anointing flowing and then we go into prayer and somebody else pick it up. But no, we're afraid. We are ashamed to say, oh, but this is not, we're just here to march. We're not here. But again, I put it in the chat room for us too. 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's not the directions that was given to us as if we want to see change. If we want to see
Amen.
Change, that's not what it was.
Amen.
And so we've got to follow the word if we want to see the movement of God make a change
Amen.
In our land. And then for the first ones to say, why isn't anything happening? Why isn't anything changing? Oh, it's still getting worse. Because we are in a mentality like, and it really is a pet peeve of mine to hear people say, girl, all we can do is pray. You know, the only thing we can do is pray. My God, that's the best thing. That's the best thing.
That's the most important thing.
Oh, my.
Especially when you're praying in faith.
You know.
You're praying in faith. If God says, speak to the mountain, tell that mountain to be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. He said, and when you pray, believe that you receive. Doubt not in your heart. You got to believe that you receive it.
You got to believe. You got to believe.
So we're seeing the sin nature. That's what it is, the sin nature and the enemy behind it, the sin nature, you know, because when he deceived Eve in the garden, you know, but the thing of it is, you know, God gave the command to Adam. He didn't give the command to Eve. So that's why he corrected Adam.
Yes.
Because man needs to be where they should be. Men are not where they should be in this time right now. Men are the head, and that's what God says, and women are the lesser vessels. Don't mean you less than, not literally you're less than, but God is saying there's an order. There is an order to things. When King David went out to war, his first sin, everybody's all my life I've heard, King David, he sinned with Bathsheba. That was his sin. That was his greatest sin. That wasn't King David's greatest sin. Now, you might have some controversy. Mm-hmm. Somebody might say something, but King David's greatest sin was not that he sinned with Bathsheba. His greatest sin was kings always led their men. He should have gone out to battle.
That's
he put Uriah
right.
on the front line of the battle when he should have been out there. So that was his first sin. God is bringing order to this nation, whether people like it or not, and whether they think they're in control, because man thinks they're in control of something, but they are not. And God will show us.
Hallelujah. That is really good. You're so right about that, because, you're right. He never was out there. He sent men to do things, that he gave the order for things to be done, but he himself never was the example. He never was the example, and you know, and that's the way it is today. We hide behind so much, and we give the word, we say these things, but we never get out here out of our four walls of a church and get to really going in the neighborhoods or going out here and praying for somebody, or somebody stop you in the street and say, can you pray for me? Oh, yeah, I will. They
never
ask,
do it. You don't even remember their name.
You better believe it. Amen.
I'm going to give a true testimony. The Holy Spirit of God told me, he said, go to the store. I'll never forget it. He said, go to the store. Well, first of all, the important part of this story was I don't go to the store at 7:30, 8:30, at 9 o'clock at night. I just don't. I'm a day person. Daytime. And so it was unusual. And the Holy Spirit kept prompting me to go. And I said, well, okay, God, I'll go. I said, it must be important, so I'll get up and go. So as I was going to the store, of course, it was late, and there was nowhere to park because there's restaurants around and everything like that where I lived. And so I had to park way, way, way off from the store. And there was two pickup trucks. I never parked in between pickup trucks. I don't know what people are doing at pickup trucks. Well, and the Holy Spirit gave me discernment, because these guys, there were three guys in the truck, and they just kept sitting there. And I thought, okay, why aren't they getting out of their truck? And I wasn't getting out either. But then I was like, okay, Lord, you said you have not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I said, come on, get out right now, Lord. I said, great. And I'm going to get out. As soon as I got out of my truck, those men got out of their truck. They were so close to me, so plainly, they were going to snatch my purse and run back to their truck is what they were going to do. And I started speaking in tongues, and two of them's eyes got big as half dollars, and they walked up ahead of me, but one of them kept looking back at me. I said, God, I know you spoke to him in their language. I know they understood that, because they looked terrified, because see, God can do stuff like that for his people and his children. So that's why I say we better have some discernment and walk in the spirit. So anyway, but the purpose of going to the store wasn't so I could just get out of my truck late at night. No, the purpose of going to the store, this white lady, she came adjacent as soon as I got to the front of the store. She came to the front of the store, and she said to me, she said, "You're praying, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am. Devil thinks he's going to rob me. The devil is a lie." And so she got to talking, and I got to talking. But the lady was going to have a major, major surgery on that Monday, and that was on a Friday. And she said, "Would you pray for me?" And you just spoke on that, how people ask you to pray, and then people forget to pray, and they don't.
And that
lady said, "Will you pray for me?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I will." So she said, "Thank you." And I said, "No, we're going to pray right now." And the Holy Spirit just took over, and we were praying in the store. When I looked up, there were a whole line of people. Like, I want prayer too, but they didn't say it, you know, but it was a whole line of people. But that was my purpose for going to the store. But the devil was trying to thwart the plan of God while I was trying to get to the store.
Amen. Amen. He knew. Hallelujah. He knew that if
they
could block her from getting
tattooed on their arms, and I didn't know a cholo from a chicken liver, but anyhow, somebody told me, they said, "Oh, the cholos, they'll cut your throat and keep on going." And they were planning on robbing me, and I know they were. The Holy Spirit revealed that to me.
My God. My God. Wow. Wow.
So that's all darkness. People are in darkness because they don't know Jesus. Because if you know Jesus, there is no way you could do the things that people are doing today. And it's getting worse and worse because sin is running rampant. He said lawlessness would run rampant in our streets.
Mm-hmm.
What do we see? They're killing. I hate to even turn the television on. They're killing every time you turn the television on. So, and the children. It's so sad, but that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a holy boldness, minister life to these people, because that's what they need. And Jesus always went amongst the sinners, you know, and these people, you know, they're not less than. Jesus wants to minister to them. These are the ones he's drawing, because some of them are going to be some of his best workers.
So, and why are we, the people, missing that? Because Jesus came as an example for us. Why aren't we walking in the ways that he walked? Why aren't we concerned about the people? We are so concerned right now of me and my four and no more. Let's just draw ourselves right here in this church building. Let's close this door. Let's get in our house. We'll pray right here. We're not praying for nobody else. We're not helping nobody else. We're not doing anything. And we're missing it. They're coming up
and
in
that's
the
why people don't have joy.
Yes.
That's why people don't have joy, Vaughn, because joy is Jesus first, others second, and you last. And if we get that mentality, that's when the blessings, that's when the blessings of God come, when we can pray for others.
Yes, 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 yes. Just get that spirit of giving. I get excited to give, just to give. And when you get that in you, you think differently. You start to move differently. You look for God's blessing. You look for him, you know, God, who is it today? What is it that you want me to say today? Where do you want me to go?
Mm-hmm.
How I let somebody know that it was you today. This was you who blessed them. And we're far from it. And then I want to jump over here real quickly, too. But let's just look again. But the Second Chronicles was just right on time, because we're just marching. We're screaming. We're hollering. We spend so much time on our banners and doing all that we forget all about what it is that he's given us to do. But I think he already knew that we would be, you know, that we would be running around with like a chicken with his head cut off. So he gave us the word. He told us what to do. Again, it said, if we say that we're his people, then we are to love everybody. We should have let the anointing and our love even trickle down on others. If my people, which are called, I don't think a lot of people have even heard the calling. They haven't even heard him speak to them. We got so, everything mm-hmm. is up so loud. We get the world turned up so loud. Like you said, we turn on all the news and all the different things. It's up so loud that we can't even hear what God is trying to speak to us and say to us. Like the 10 virgins, I want to get to in a minute, but the 10 virgins, they didn't have time to wait on God. Yeah, I'm sure they were the same ones that told everybody, yeah, I love God. Yes, I love God. Mm-hmm. But they didn't wait mm-hmm. on the Lord. They had to go get turned up. The party was going on over here. Didn't you see this mm-hmm. fine man over here? You know, I'm going to be ready with God. Yeah, I'll be ready when Jesus comes back. But in the meantime, I got to go over here and do this. There's some gambling going on. It's all kind of different things going
awesome.
On. It's even some work going on. I got to go to
game.
Work. I got to work with, you know. All kind of things is going on when he's saying you should be getting yourself prepared for me. No bride goes to a wedding mm-hmm. and she's all funky and got, you know, everything going on. She takes out some time to get herself beautified for the groom.
Amen. Amen.
Not have the time to get, because the world is flashing and we don't want to hear what nobody has to say. Let me get out here and get drunk. Let me go out here and get a man. Let me go out here and get a woman. It's just so much that when he comes back, then here they come knocking on the ark to Noah. Let me in. Open the door. Knocking on the door to your heart. Oh, please, you know, I love the Lord. You know, I'm a Christian, you know, but can you give me some of your oil? No. You can handle my oil because you haven't consecrated yourself. You ain't even ready
Amen.
For this. So, you know, it's some sweat and blood in here. No, so we've got to get ourselves together. I want to go through Second Chronicles for all of those. Someone in the chat room said go through Second Chronicles. It said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And just real quickly, I know I keep getting thrown off here, but, you know, in our marches, let's go back to that, we're always pointing the finger at somebody else because that something started the march. Okay, I get that. But we don't march about praying for anybody. We're not marching saying that, you know what, we got to spread a little bit more love or Jesus is love. But we've got to learn how to humble ourselves.
Amen.
Even though our may not be what the sin that we're marching about. Oh, we're covered with sin too. We got so much sin that we're just pouring inside of us, even from the world, just dumping on us. But we've got to learn to humble ourselves first. And then when we humble ourselves, we can begin to pray. We can begin to
Amen.
Seek His grace. And then we can begin to turn from our wicked ways. It didn't say I can turn my brother around from his wickedness, but when I start to humble myself, then I began to pray. I can pray. Once I get into a deep prayer life, then I can start to seek his face. God, I want to seek your face. He said, seek me, you'll find me. And then it said, once I do that, then I can recognize my own wickedness and then learn how to turn from my wicked ways. He said, Once we do that, we don't ever want to go over the part that we're to do. We want to skip down to this. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. People saying, why is the land healed? Well, have we done this as a whole? And that's the thing,
nope.
with the, you know, where we're at. That's why people are still saying today, I can't wait. Did the churches get back the way it was? There ain't nobody trying to go backwards. God is trying to show you something brand new. He's trying
Amen.
To show you something brand new. He's trying
yes,
to take you.
Lord.
Most of us couldn't take what was going on in there anyway. We know that it's more.
Amen.
It's more than just in that preaching to each other. No, it's more than that. No, God ain't trying to.
Yes.
He placed our feet in front of us. He ain't trying to get us to go backwards.
Because he says if the judgment of God first begins at the house of God, whose house we are, we better be careful because it's going to start with us. So that's why my prayer, look, we know when we're getting off. Now, let us not get sidetracked for somebody who may be dealing with something right now because, you know, Romans says we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory.
Yeah.
So don't let us be so puffed up because we're not, but we know what the Word of God says. So if you sin and you know you're sinning, then just ask God to turn you around. He's the only one that can do it anyway. And he loves you, and there's nothing that will separate you from God's love if you're, and now see, he said he know, I know the very thought and intent of every man's heart. So he knows when you're sincere, you really want to turn away from that thing. He says there is no temptation that hath overtaken you, but such is common to man. But God will, with every temptation, make the way of escape. So when you're in these places and you know you shouldn't be, somebody else's husband, somebody else's wife, God has already given you a way of escape. Run. That's why he said flee fornication. Flee from it. Run. Because it can get you in a heap of trouble.
Hallelujah.
So my prayer is when I'm off, I know when I'm off, and I say, Lord, I thank you that every wrong place is being made right. Every rough place in me is being made smooth. Every crooked place in me is being made straight because I have to first humble myself and go to my Father. Yeah. But see, that's the good thing of being his child. You, the Word of God says you can go boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and help in your time of need.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I think that's the importance, too, of having someone in your corner that's not just a yes man. Someone in your corner can, you know, hold you accountable. Someone in your corner. But we don't even want to. We don't want to do that. Sometimes you'll find the people in the street have more people that can tell them straight up, and they'll listen to somebody a little bit more easier than we will, then we call ourselves that we're supposed to have it a little bit together. But we've got to have, we cannot have these yes men. Yeah, whatever you say, yep, I agree with you. We've got to be held responsible if we're going to make a difference. And we've got to, because God is speaking to us. It's not like that it's, you know, he's just allowing to go. God is speaking to us. He's speaking to us. He's putting people in our pathways to pray for, to pray with. And we are still just going out of our way to look in the opposite direction, going out of our way to remind each other, well, they didn't do nothing for me when I was down. They didn't help me with this. Wow. So I love the way that you spoke to the audience. So whether they're here live now or whether they're in the chat room, you know, if you want to call the ones that have called in, if you want to speak, it gives you your instructions. Just raise your hand there so we can speak to the host. We want to hear from you. But we understand it's in the chat room. They say, I'm in the chat room for a reason. I'm here to hear and absorb. That's wonderful, too. That is wonderful, too. But I love how you spoke to them to just remind them, wherever you're at, you're not by yourself. God still loves you. He still loves you. He's waiting patiently in line for you. He still has a plan for you. It's a plan to give you hope. It's not to tear you down. It's not to get you derailed. God understands what you need. He understands the things that you're trying to get, that you're going out of your way to trying to get somebody else to love you, to make you feel whole, to comfort you. And you said, I may have been through something, Minister Vaughn. You don't understand. Nobody understands. But when I do this drug, when I do this thing, when I'm with this person, I just kind of forget about it. But just for a moment. Because when you sober up, that thing is still there. When you leave that permissive bed, that thing is still there. Now it's just more heavier because enemy is going to pour guilt on top of whatever was going on to start with. I just want you to know that there is a way out. There is a way out. There is a way out. You're not trapped. You're not too far gone. There is a way out. Hallelujah. There's a way out. And we are,
Lord.
I'm going to let, we was talking about the different things. I do have a prayer request that came in, but someone is just asking, what does seek my face mean? And I'm going to just say a couple of things, and I'm going to let you touch on that, Sharonda. Seeking God's face to me, praying to God. It's getting to know him. It's communicating with him. It's getting that intimate relationship just like you would if you met a person of the opposite sex or the same sex and you wanted to get to know them. You haven't saw this loved one. And what have you been doing? And you want to see what's going on and what you've been doing. And you just want to be with them. You wake up thinking about them. If you haven't heard from them in a moment, you're wondering, what are they doing? You're seeking. God is wondering, when are you going to take out time for me? He wants you to seek his face. Go ahead, Sharonda.
And what comes to mind, you know, the word of God says that he is the bridegroom and we are the bride. Think about it. If you are in a marriage and you don't have much communication, how long do you think that marriage is going to last?
Amen.
You don't talk to him, he don't talk to you. How long do you think that marriage will last? And I think that's where a lot of people have fallen because they didn't stay in the word of God and stay in his presence. He said in his presence is in, you know, fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures evermore. And, you know, because even some of the – we should be growing from faith to faith. Of faith, and that's what that means, because seeking God's face and not just I get in his face. I don't want anything from him. I don't ask him to, I don't pray for help my family or help me get this job or, you know, and that has everything has a time and a place, but that's just not what I do all the time. Sometimes I just love on him and tell him who he is. He likes to be reminded. You know, there's a scripture that says, command ye me the works of my hand. Well, how can you command him the works of his hands if you don't know what the works are? So it's just where an intimacy, like Pastor Minister Bond said, you have to have an intimacy. Oh, here's a good one right here. Because when I was a young Christian, I read the scripture that says, people, you know, some of the people in the church, they're gonna cast out demons, and they're gonna go but stand before Almighty God in judgment, and they're gonna say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not prophesy? Did we not do many mighty works in your name? And he says to them, because it's in word, in red, so that's Jesus speaking. He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Well, as a young Christian, I was like, I don't understand that, Lord. If they're doing all this stuff in your name, I don't understand why you would say that to them. You got to explain that to me, Father, because I'm not getting it. I might be sweet but slow, but I'm not getting that one. And the simple thing the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, they never, ever sat at my feet. They never, ever worshiped me. They were doing things in my name, and many of them, I didn't even tell them to do them. Because you got many people in the body of Christ. I always say some was called and some just went. Everybody ain't called. Let somebody else say, oh, she's doing this. I can do that. I can do that better. I can do it better than her. But, you know, if you weren't called, don't do it. Don't do it. Just do what God calls you to do. I'm going to do what God called me to do. I'm not going to try, because you know what? When you try to do what somebody else does, oh, my goodness, you're going to have demonic attack on that level. So don't try to go up here when you're not up here. You better stay where God put you, or you certainly will have attacks on that level where you're trying to go.
Amen, amen, amen. That is really good. Some are called and some just went, And, you know, some we have to watch, because some people will call you.
You've been called.
Oh, well, somebody said, they used to tell my brother, when, as we was growing up, you got the head of a preacher. You got the head of a preacher. So was that meaning that he was being called? No. Does that mean he was being called? No. People will look at you and they will tell you, you should take over. Mm-hmm. You should do this. You should be in charge of this. That's not your calling. Mm-hmm. That's why you're miserable. Mm-hmm. That's why it's all upside down. That's why it's lopsided.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
You got many false prophets out there because of that.
Amen.
It's going. Because a lot of it, they realized they could make money, and so now they're just making money and doing things, you know. So that's what God said. He said, many just went. He said, I didn't tell them to do it.
Just wow. Yeah.
You better have the anointing of God on you when you try to do those things anyway. What did Paul say? What did those seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, they tried to cast out them demons. You know, he says, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? And those demons jumped on them.
Told them up. Told them up. Yeah. I just always can't imagine that. I can just see them just like, you know, walking over there all bad and stuff, you know, da-da-da-da-da. The demons just turn around like, wait a minute. Hold on. Now, Jesus I know, and, you know, Paul I know. Who are you? Oh, come here. I'm going to get you real good.
Right. I was
telling
you, you ain't got no power.
No power.
Do what the Lord called you to do.
No power. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's really something, and the Lord is good. You know, his word is good. And it says, taste and see that I'm good. You can only taste it when you do it. It'll have you salivating when you get into it. You know, like you said, when worshiping God is something different. Worshiping God just gets his attention. We're not asking for anything. We're just, wow, you're so good. Wow, you're just embracing yourself in his love and just in the midst of this things that we're going through. We go through things while we're here. And you know what I'm talking about. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. It seems like after one thing, after another, every time you decide to do right, it seems like something comes your way. The phone rings and somebody says, come on, let's go out, girl. You got to go tonight. Or somebody knock on your door that you know that you've been trying to stay away from, but here they are. Don't you get that? You got to surround yourself with somebody who truly loves you. They want the best for you. You've got to get yourself in a community. And if you may not, you may be afraid, and we look at churches and we look at church people and we hear like, oh, I don't even have the attire to go up in there. Are they going to look at me because I'm not where they're at on their journey? You know what? It's just a matter of coming together. You can start right where you're at. You know, I used to hear when I was, if you don't know the prayer life, or you don't try to compare your prayer life to somebody else's, just start calling his name. Let them know that I seek you. I love you. I believe, God, that you gave your only son for me, that his blood covered my sins. You know, she was just talking about, and said, it said, but, you know, get away from me. He said, because I don't even know your name. And they did all these things in his name. It's almost like somebody, you know, they never met Sharonda. They never met me, but they start throwing off names, you know, or some big celebrity. They don't know the celebrity, but they throw out that name. Yeah, because, you know, I once saw them back here or something. It doesn't change anything. You can't go and call that person. You can't go and knock on their door because they don't know you. So I say that to say your grandmother may have a relationship. Your mother may have a relationship. But do you have a relationship? Do you have a relationship? It's one thing about it. We all have to meet him face to face. We don't have the option of lying. We won't have that option of running behind excuses. We won't have that option of saying, nope, not going, not going. Because when he calls us, we've got to go. We have to go. And we're going to meet him face to face. Now, I could only imagine a lot of things about how that's going to be. But one thing about it, will he know that the love that you have in him? In the book of life, what is it in there? How did you live on this journey that you proved your love? He's a forgiving God. He's a forgiving God. He said he would throw your sins. Now, this is true repentance from your heart, not just saying I'm sorry and going back doing it again, but the true repentance from your heart. Repentance means to turn from that thing. We was talking about that. Turn from my wickedness. Turning from that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I throw it in the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more.
Amen.
And I hear somebody, how do I turn? I can't afford to get out of this community. I can't afford to get out of the places that I'm at. How can I turn? How do I get away from it? Sharonda, you have anything on that?
Well, like you said, just simply be honest. And the only way we can he can turn it for us. The only thing I would say is just keep asking. You don't just say it one time and stop. You keep praying until something happens. And that's called push. Pray until something happens and something different. And you have to be steadfast. He tells us to be steadfast and unmovable on our confessions of faith. Sometimes we got to say it for years and then it'll come because he knows what's best for us and he always has our best interest at heart. And sometimes like somebody might be praying for a husband or somebody might be praying for a car or a house or something like that. Although God can give us those things. But the thing of it is he wants to know your heart and he wants to know that when he gives you that thing won't have you, but you'll have it because you'll know who gave it to you.
Yes.
And it'll come, but it's just spending the time. He tests us to see if we will spend the time just with him and just loving on him. I get in his presence and I say, Lord, I thank you. You're Jehovah Medakeshkim. You are the Lord who sanctifies us and sets us apart for your work. And it is you who hath begun a good work in each of us, both to will and to do of all your good pleasure. Thank you, El Elyon. You are God Most High. And you are sovereign, Lord. You made the heavens and the earth. You just have to tell him who he is. And if you need to get a book, there's a book out there you can buy that tells you the names of God. He has many names. And just love on him because he loves you. And don't get in condemnation, you know, when you miss a day or something like that, because I used to do that a lot. I used to get in condemnation. I used to think if I ain't spent 4 or 5 hours in prayer, I was, you know, condemned to die and go to hell. No, you have to learn his character and know how much he loves you. That's not going to send you to hell, but not loving people can.
Amen. And he knows where you're at right now.
Right where you are.
So if you're trying to get out of a situation, he knows your heart. She just spoke about that.
Yeah.
See, man looks at the outer part of us, but God looks right to your heart. He knows what you want. Why not start in my house, right here? Mm-hmm. I can't control my identity, but in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. In my house, we're going to pray. In my house, we're going to start looking around and seeing anything that is not of him and getting rid of it. It starts right there. Before you know it, the more you seek him, you will find him. He will give you peace where you used to be in turmoil. And I like journaling. And little things that you see that used to bother you that you couldn't even sleep. And the more you talk to God about it, and you just say, God, I want you to take this for me. You handle it. You hold it. You look back a month or a week from now, and you'd be like, I slept last night. You look back and say, I didn't work without the bill, and it still made a way. He still made a way. And you start to step on these stones, and you think about it. He bought me through that. I believe that he can take me through that. And so cause the enemy wants you to feel like to isolate you, that you're the only one who can't pay your bills. You're the only one who don't know what you're going to feed your child today. God said, trust me for one thing. Trust in me for all things.
Man.
All things. He's more than enough. He's more than enough.
Or somebody may even be feeling like I was raped or I was molested. Or, you know, you've hidden that secret for forever because the enemy brought shame. He brought shame upon you. But God says right now that he saw that thing and he will deal with those people who do those things. But you are not a mistake and it shouldn't have happened to you. And God loves you and he's your healer. He's your deliverer. And he's going to take away the shame, the pain, the guilt. All of that. There are a lot of people dealing with things that are so heavy, but God says your shoulders were not that broad and they were never meant to carry those things. God says, I will carry those things. He said, cast your cares upon me, for it's I who cares for you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to, we're coming to the close here, but I just want to read this one prayer request and that was sent today, and our heart goes out to all families that are in bereavement, all families that are just don't know which way to turn. Our heart goes out to you. And I just want to, I'm not for sure of the family's name. I'm not even really for sure of the location, but word of mouth. And it was sent to me today. And my niece talked to me. And she says, good morning, Aunt Vaughn. I talked to you this morning with a heavy heart. She said, one of my coworkers, so it must be in Round Rock, Texas. She says, one of my coworkers and three of her grandchildren were killed over the weekend in a car accident with a semi-truck. Please pray for her and her family. If I am asking anyone who knows how to pray for them. She said the oldest child was 20. It just hurts my heart.
Yeah,
and so Candace,
Lord.
As I reached back out to you at that time to let you know to pray for them, that I did. And also I gave her my information that told her, you know, Candace, look them in the eyes when you talk to them and let them know. They can call me day or night. They can reach me because it's going to be some hard times, even right now. And even after all is done and everybody goes away, they still have that hurt in their heart. And so God is close to the weak. His strength is enough to take you through this, but right now, you're not even for sure if you want to go through this. You don't even want to go through this. It may be guilt or the last things that you said to someone. It could be that you wish that you could have taken their place. But in God's time, and God, it's God's time, and it's God's time, and it's God's timing. And it's so easy to look around and watch the enemy just start to lay different guilt trips upon you. if you had did this, or maybe if you had did that. No, baby, I want you to know, right now, God is extending out his arms, and he wants you to wrap yourself up in them. But he wants you to know that even the things that you don't understand, he still will give you peace over those things. You don't have to understand the reasons why he still has joy and love and comfort that he wants to give you. And you, it wasn't you at this time. That wasn't your time to go for a reason. It's according to his plans that he had long before you were born. And so it wasn't your time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I want you to know that in prayer with you, like I did earlier today, or speaking to you now, but I want to continue. And I reached out to many ministers and people, prayer warriors that I could around the country, because I just want us to gather hands together in prayer and just, I want you to feel God's enclosing up on you. He's just letting you know that I'm still here talking to you. He's got some things that he only wants to show you. Somebody else may not understand it, but when he speaks it to you, it's going to give you peace. It's going to give you peace. And so as we close tonight, I'm going to ask Sharonda to just pray us out. And we ask you to just, regardless of what you may be feeling right now, I know the hurt and whatever that's going on when you're mourning and you're in that grief, and it feels like it's taking over you, just for a few minutes, will you just decide to lay it down, to let go and open your heart? And as we pray, just ask God to fill you up, because you're weak, you're feeling empty, to fill you up in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Father God, we come before your holy presence, Lord. We thank you and we praise you, Father, that you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the God that heals all over this nation, Father. We thank you right now that you touch each and every family member, oh God, of these lost people, oh God, everyone that's been killed in our nation, oh God, but especially for these that are fresh. Lord God, we pray because we know that healing is the children's bread, and we thank you for that, oh God. Father, we thank you that you would give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for spirit of heaviness, oh God. So, Father, we ask you right now to take those things from them. We know that they have good memories that they will have of their loved ones, Father God. We ask you, Father God, that you would even place forgiveness in their hearts for this young man, oh God, because that's your love, Father. We can't always understand and comprehend, but we know forgiveness is not for him, the forgiveness is for them. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you right now that healing goes all over the airways and all over this nation right now, Father God. Lift up their bowed down heads, oh God, and give them joy, Father God, the joy that's exceeding and abundantly in them, oh God. Father, we ask you to let it rise up in them right now, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And Satan, you have not won. And we serve you notice that you are a defeated foe in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you, Father, that tests will become testimonies, oh God, of goodness, of your goodness and of your mercy and your grace, Father. We thank you, Lord. Wrap your loving arms around each and every one of them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for everyone that's listening on these airwaves, Father God, that you would heal, healing. Thank you, Father God. We bless you. We honor you, oh God. We know you can do all things except fail. You cannot fail. You will not fail. And we thank you and we praise you, Father. Paul said, call those things that be not as though they were. And we thank you for it, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, I've enjoyed myself so much, and I just thank each and every one of you for being here. And we're going to make it. We're going to make it through this. And let's just go out, just go praise. We will see you next time. Please continue to check on the social medias for our postings, and we will be back with you again. Amen. You know, he
Amen.
Is Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. Let's just love, let him just love on us as we worship him, okay? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank
you. Amen. Bless you.
Let's see if I didn't come on. Amen. Well, you know what? We're still going to give him all the praise, all the praise. And for whatever reason, it didn't play, but that's fine. I just want you to remember that he knows what's best for you. It's already in his plans. It's already in his plans. He knows what's best for you. Again, as we sign off, this Divine Dilemma. And this is my dear sister, Sister Sharonda Wickerson, and we give you all the, we send love your way. Love your way. You're going to make it.
Hallelujah.
You have a wonderful
Hallelujah.
Night.
Yes.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye-bye. Did we hang up, Vaughn?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Amen.